Is this on? Yeah. Hi. For those of you who don't know me, I see a couple of new faces. My name is Larry. I've been coming to JACM since last December. So I've been here for about 6.5 months, maybe 7 months or so. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's done a... I don't know. He's done so many things in my life. I don't know what he called me here to say. but in the past couple of months, my life was basically, as they say, you know, turned upside down. In the best way possible. In the best way possible. That Christ, He came into my life and He told me that He loved me and I was saved, that I was His child, and that, that my life wasn't my life to live, but it's His. And I was so ready at that point, I think, because I was having a hard time. But I don't think that's the message. This is something I shared with a couple of friends of mine who are with me together in the service team. But it's something that really touches my heart. And it's about depression. Some of you here know, most of you here probably don't. I have suffered from depression for a long time. I don't know how long. I probably started something like 11, 12, certainly in my teens. I was, later on, I was diagnosed with a medical depression. Apparently, you know, there's a chemical imbalance. My serotonin inhibitors don't work properly, and so I don't have enough serotonin inhibitors. Or I have too much serotonin inhibitors. I never got that one straight. But apparently they ran the test. I said, you're not normal. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I could tell, you know, like, I'm depressed all the time. You know, I was really on the driver's seat on that one. So, I actually kind of struggled through it in high school, but as you know, Korean society, being depressed, definitely a taboo. You don't ever talk about it. So I just kind of struggled by myself. And then I went to college, did my military service. I came back. And then at a certain point, it just got so bad that, I just kind of, you know, told my parents that, you know, I'm going to need help, professional help. There were some various circumstances, but in the end, started going to see a therapist. He's one of the best therapists in Korea. He's very expensive. He costs $2 a minute. And when he first had my interview, he signed me up for 6 hours a week, every week. That's how much he said I needed. And I had therapy with him for about 2 years. That's a lot of money. Wow. I think about it now. I'm like, wow. But back then, it was like, you know, Dad, I'm going to either kill myself or I'm going to get help. And I'm going to get the best help, please. So thank the Lord. My parents were willing. And a couple of months into the therapy, my doctor recommended me that I take medication. I resisted for about 3 months. And then I started taking medication. I started out with something. I ended up with Lexapro, which is a very nice little pill you take every day in the morning, 30 minutes after breakfast. And it's not a, I don't know, I think, I don't know how many of you guys suffer from depression. But when I suffered it, it's like the whole world's like in black and white. The whole world's in black and white. And then when I took that pill, the first week I took that pill, went back to my doctor and I just said, is this how normal people feel? And he said, yeah. And I said, oh, so this is why people want to live. And I was just so relieved that, you know, wow, you know, I could see everything in technicolor. Like, there was color. I could, you know, the emotions and you know, like, I can look at the sky, I'm like, wow, there's sky, and I'll look at the grass, I'm like, whoa, the grass. You know, it's like, it was, you know, it goes there. And so I took that pill for about a year and a half. It's an expensive pill, too. But there's insurance for that. I don't know whether that's a good thing or not, though. So I started my job, and I decided that when I started my job that I didn't want to be dependent on chemicals anymore. Definitely my sister and my mother, who are very good, devout Christians, didn't really want to be relying on a chemical to keep me going. And they tell you that the drug won't work on normal people. That's right, actually. But what they don't tell you is it really makes a buffer. So your emotions never fall below a certain point. So I might have a bad day, but I could, you know, go through it pretty well. Like, I could handle it. It wasn't so bad. And then I went off the drug to cold turkey because I thought to myself, I didn't want this to be a crutch. And then, of course, that, you know, happens to be the moment that I, you know, made some really stupid decisions, a couple of stupid decisions. And I was just put in a place, or I put myself in a place that was really ended up being my desert. And so when I came to JCM at the end of December, I was basically at the end of my ropes. I didn't know what to do. I'd been going to church for 18 years, but I hadn't really truly met Christ. And Christian over there, that guy who was kind enough to arrange a couple of weeks of Bible study, well, not Bible study, but studying with me and a couple of other people at church. And I was having such a hard time. Like, all I was doing was go home and cry, and then come to church and cry. And, you know, basically I would work and then go home and cry. And I was really in a tight spot. But then I came to church, and Christian told me very carefully. He said, "Oh, you know, he quoted Isaiah 61 to me. I'm not going to try to quote it, seeing how he kind of didn't get through that one last week. But he quoted Isaiah 61 to me. He said that, you know, we're not. God didn't build us to live in sorrow or in mourning." And I said, "Yeah, you're right." And then people prayed for me that day. And then I went home, and lo and behold, my depression was cured. It was like, you know, I used to have this thing called the depression, but now it's gone, and it was just gone. But it was gone when I had recovered my place and found my place with the Lord. That when I knew who He was and who I was in relation to Him, then that was when it was fixed. So, at first, it was very strange. I would read if I was faithful to Him, not just in reading the Bible and doing the things, but also just if my heart was straight before Him, then, you know, I wouldn't be depressed at all. I would just go through my day well. And then when my heart started to wander away from Him, I'd feel pretty down again. But later on, I realized that it wasn't because God hasn't cured me from depression. It wasn't because God said, "Larry, you know, you have a chemical imbalance in your body and you're going to have it until my kingdom comes." He didn't say that. Although it was a great reminder that always we have to rely on God and we have to keep Him in our minds. But what had happened, and I realized later on, is that a depression, and I mean by depression, not feeling just down because you're having a hard time, or, you know, feeling, you know, desperate. When you're having a desperate situation, you know, it's normal to feel desperate. But being depressed, which I would say is feeling this self-pity for you all the time and wallowing in it and like saying, "Oh, you know, nothing can happen. Like, I am like this." That attitude, that's such a lie of the devil. That's just such a lie of the devil. And he was just telling that lie to me all the time. And I had listened to him for like 20-something years until Christ broke that bondage from me. And I realized, if I don't want to listen to that lie, and seeing how we all have open ears, flapping ears, we have to listen to be something else. We have to be listening to Christ and what He says. And what He says is not that we shall live in grief or sorrow, although there may be grieving situations and sorrowful situations. Right now, I could say I'm in the middle of my desert period, and some days I'm just praying to God, Lord, just take my life. You know, Lord, why don't you come today, like right now? If you can't do it, why don't you drop this building on me? If you can't do that, can there be like a bolt of fire and like just kill me? And like just, you know, let me get this over with, Lord, because this is, I'm just having such a hard time. But, you know, but beyond that, but I realized that even in the midst of that, I'm just, you know, holding on to God because that's the only one I can hold on to. And the devil can no longer lie to me about that. Of course, every time I feel confident, every time I drift away from God, I don't think he withdraws that protection from me. I walk away from it, and then the devil has his chance at me again until I run back to God and say, I'm sorry, Lord, you know, forgive me. I've wandered from you, but I know that his grace is always infinite, and he always extends his mercy to those who come and ask him. And, you know, so it's been a very weird ride, I think, but it's been good. Past 6 months, I haven't had any of those very serious attacks of depression that I used to have. I can be in a really hot, tight spot, and I can be really down, but I won't be depressed about it. I'll know that, you know, that's not something to be depressed about. And God's been recently so good to me is to show that, you know, when he does his work, and when I follow him, that he just opens up new ways and he trains us, and that it's in our times of hardship that he's the closest to us. And I can just feel his presence when, you know, it's very vibrant, like around here, around my, I can almost like physically sense him, his presence, when I'm in a really hard time and I'm just, you know, I'm not even praying. I can't pray. I'm not even crying because I can't cry. But whenever I have those kind of situations, he's always there with me. And I don't have to fall from that to depression. You know, that's not a place that God wanted me to be. And I know that modern days people tell you that it's okay to be depressed. It's okay to feel that way. And they kind of try to pat you on the back and try to encourage you out of it. But, you know, I can just tell you right out, it's a lie of the devil. You know, you keep patting yourself on the back or have other people pat you on the back, it will never get out of it. I'm not saying you won't have days that you're depressed or despairing or grieving, but still, I see so many people around me in the world, and they tell me, you know, oh, I'm depressed. And, you know, some of them kind of shake it off, but most of them, they just start wallowing in it, and then you end up paying $2 a minute to a therapist, tax-free, in cash, cold cash. And certainly that's not something that God, you know, in his heart wants for his children. So I think that's something I just wanted to share. It's always been within my heart. It's something God told me, you're the living testimony. You're my living testimony. I mean, I'm the test case, right? I've been healed. Like Christian there, he can't tell you that you can be completely healed of depression, but I can because I was diagnosed. I have the papers. I have the medical records. I have my insurance bills. And I can tell you now that depression can be healed and God can heal you of depression completely without any relapse as long as you just look to him, you don't take your eyes off him. And this is just such something that my heart breaks because I've been there, and for all the people who suffer from depression that I just want to reach out to them. And you know, God's, you know, he told me this morning that, you know, you have to testify and give testimony to what I've done in your life, because that's not something that you're allowed to keep to yourself. That's not something that I'm going to, like, you know, pull out when I'm alone in my room and say, yeah, God gave this to me. You know, that's not something that I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be coming out here and showing it to you guys and say, that, look, you know, here's my infirmity, but it's gone. It's no longer here. And God, you know, praise God. He's just such a wonderful, wonderful being, God. He's who he is. And, you know, who he is good and only good. So, you know, if any of you you're yourself or have anybody who's going through a hard time, I just want you to remember that God will heal you. And there at JACM, definitely, there's a lot of brothers and sisters who will just come to you and pray for you and pray for healing and God's mercy and your grace. And when they ask and intercede for you, and when you ask, you know, God, he'll always give you mercy and he'll always give you grace, because that's what he promised to us. So, yeah, I think I overran or something. So, that's, yeah, that was me. Thank you.
Hello. So my name is Roy, in case you don't know me. So I'm actually going to share two stories, but the overlying theme is how God has used in heartbreak to bring me closer to him. I've been attending JACM for just about a year now. I started last summer. And so the first story I'm going to tell is actually how I came to JACM. I think a couple of you know it, but probably most of you don't. So I had spent about a year away from church. The past 6 months in the U.S., when I first came to Korea, my first about 6 months here, I wasn't at church. And so there was this girl that I liked last spring, so we started hanging out. But that didn't work out. And so I was really hurt from that. And it became really clear to me how much I was placing my happiness in that relationship and just in being with her. And I was so upset and so hurt after that. It didn't seem right, you know. I think growing up as a Christian, I always understood logically why it makes sense to really focus on God and, you know, how he's the firm foundation. But, you know, I was really experiencing it. So it made me consider church. Also, I just kind of wanted a distraction, you know. Work week was okay. I was busy doing work. But then the weekends, when I had time to myself, you know, I'd think of the girl or whatever. So I even just wanted distractions in that sense. During this time, we were reading a story in one of my classes at the academy, at the Hagwon where I teach, and we had a theme that was something that seems bad can be good. And usually the kids will have to take this theme, and they have to do a presentation in front of the class, and for some reason this time around they asked me if I could do a presentation as well, so I said, sure, why not? So I was thinking about the theme, you know, something that seems bad can end up being good. And I was like, oh, that almost sounds biblical. And so I, you know, I had brought my Bible to Korea, but, you know, like I said, I was, you know, I wasn't attending the church, so I hadn't touched it. For some reason I brought it, but I didn't touch it for the first 6 months here. And I was like, okay, for this presentation, you know, I'll see what I can find. And then I came across the story of Joseph and his brothers in Genesis. And so Joseph, you know, as, you know, he gets enslaved, taken to Egypt. But then finally when he's reunited with his brothers, you know, he tells his brothers, you know, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. So I was like, okay, so that's like, you know, this theme that we have in the story, something that seems bad can end up being good. So I presented that to the kids. And then as I was doing this, as I was preparing, I even kind of thought to myself, it's kind of ironic, like this situation with this girl, you know, seemed bad, you know, it definitely hurt me. But if it turns me back to God, maybe that will end up being good as well. So I had those things lined up. And I knew about JACM through Seulgi Lim. Some of you may know her. She's back in the States now, but she had invited me to JACM, so I finally said, okay, you know, I'll come out. And then the first Sunday I came to church, Pastor Sam preached about Joseph and that story. So, yeah, so when I heard that, you know, it was really touching, because I was like, oh, thanks, God, you know. Because, you know, like I had just, you know, tried not to think about him, but, you know, I just felt the whole time that he had remembered me. Was it just coming back? Yeah, so that was touching. It was good for me. That's the first story. The second one, it's not, I guess, as neat in terms of things lining up, but this one's more recent. So I've been attending JACM for about a year now. And, you know, it's been good. But I guess I haven't really been too involved in church, you know, and even just in terms of just reading the Bible or praying, I haven't been too active. But about a couple of months ago, I think it's, I like how Larry shared, you know, how God's been rocking him the past couple months, for me as well. But just a couple months ago, I started spending time with this other girl. And, Yeah, that didn't work out either. but I think this time it was really upsetting because she, you know, I really liked the girl from last spring, and I thought, oh, I'll never like a girl that much again. I met this new girl, and I liked her even more. I couldn't believe it. And she was a Christian. So I thought, oh, this is really cool. So even as we're spending time together, I even felt, I was like, you know what, I want to be a better person for her. And I think, you know, the way to do that is by being a better Christian. So even as we were spending time together, you know, I tried to just, you know, pray more, you know, get more into the Word. That ended up not working out. And I was really upset. You know, I it was kind of funny, but I cried out to God. I was like, this is cruel. You know, we were praying for each other. You know, I felt like I was growing closer to you through this relationship. So I told God, I was like, well, if you're going to take this from me, then you got to give me something. You got to show me something. And he has, like, beyond what I could expect. Just, I just have a hunger just to know God so much these days, which is, which is great. And it's just been really amazing to me how I've been able to, I guess, recover from this heartache because, you know, I didn't think I'd like a girl this much, but even now, just like about a couple months afterwards, I feel, yeah, great. I feel wonderful, and I thank God, praise God for that. Hopefully I won't have to learn that lesson again. Hopefully I'll remember to keep God first and just, you know, really trust in Him. But I just hope to sustain this hunger and just to really continue to seek after God and just really trust in what He has for me and who He has for me. So, thank you.
Came up here because I wanted to share a story specifically that's happened really recently. And so basically I had to go to America. I needed to go see my dad, and I needed to go see my family there. And I was really stressed about it because my family gives me a lot of pressure, and my family is probably one of the hardest. It's really hard for me to deal with my family, like really, really hard to deal with my family. And, you know, I didn't have a credit card, and I couldn't get a credit card, and I wasn't sure about, like, I didn't know how I was going to do it. And I called my dad, and I was like, Dad, you know, I'd like to come home for about 3 weeks, and you know, Dad, would you buy me an airplane ticket? And you know, my dad was kind of like, well, why not longer, Faye? You know, why not longer? And I was like, well, I didn't really say much, and I was like, well, you know, I just kind of was like, just, you know, let's do it this way. This is how, you know, I think it's good. And then, like, I told him that I would, like, email him. And so I hung up the phone, and I went to look for plane tickets and whatnot, and I found a plane ticket. And I had emailed him beforehand, and I emailed my dad. I was like, and my dad was like, oh, no, no, I called my dad. And my dad was like, okay, if it's under, like, the first thing was like, you know, it has to be under a certain amount. And that amount was $1,500. It was round trip, because I was like, oh, if I go, then I want to come back. You know, I want to come back to JSCM. You know, you guys are my homies. So, I looked on the computer, I looked on the internet, and, like, I couldn't really find anything. And I thought, when am I going to go? And, you know, at this time, I was looking for a job as well. So, a job offer opened up, like, really recently. Actually, and so, you know, I was like, oh, well, this is before I got the plane ticket. And I was like, well, I have to be back. I want to be back for Christian's wedding. You know, praise God, you know, so, hallelujah. okay. So I was like on the 22nd, right? And so I was like, well, I want to be back. I was thinking originally like a month. So I was thinking like, you know, when I first was looking for the plane tickets, I was looking for within a week. But I couldn't find any plane tickets that were less than $1,500. They were $1,637 or whatnot. And so I talked to Mina, and Mina was like, dude, you know, you should stay till Sunday at least. And, you know, I was like, cool. You know, she's like, you can get blessing. You know, people can send you off. And I was like, I'll accept that. You know, I like blessing. So, like, I was like, all right, I'm going to search for a plane ticket, like, after Sunday. And I was like, Monday. So I searched for a plane ticket on Monday. I found a plane ticket. It was, like, $1,637 or whatnot. I was like, oh, this works. This works. So I talked to my dad about it. You know, it happened to be like $1,464. And, you know, my dad said, okay, you know, like, you know, cause I called Mina before I wasn't sure about the end date. And I was like, well, you know, about the 24th. And Mina was like, no, 22nd is better. So I was like, okay. So I called my dad and I was like, okay, dad, you know, this is a plane ticket. It's $1,463. You know, will you buy it for me? And at first he was like, you know, I don't like the timing, but we'll try it. So he, you know, because I don't have a credit card, so he used his credit card. He said he'd email me. But when he actually got it, when he actually tried to buy it, it went up by $200. So it became $1,637. Because, you know, those airplane websites are kind of like not cool. You know, and so my dad was like, well, you know, I can't do it, you know, like I tried, Faye, I really tried, but it's more than $1,500. I was like, okay. And I was like, I was really bummed about it. And you know, I was like, well, I kind of wanted to convince him, but then I felt like I shouldn't. So I was like, well, I'll keep on searching. If I find one less than $1,500, I'll let you know. Because, you know, and so after that, what happened was I felt like that day God wanted me to talk to my dad about why I wanted to leave those days, because my dad wasn't at peace about it. And I felt like I had to give my explanation. So I called him again, and you know, I explained to him, and you know, I talked to my dad, get really frustrated, and I talked to him for about a really long time, trying to explain why I needed to go at this time, why I needed to be back at this time, and why I only needed to go for that certain time. And, you know, at the end, it's very hard for him to understand. And, and I was trying to keep my calm, I was trying to keep my cool, but at the end, you know, I couldn't hold it anymore. So I was like, okay, Dad, I gotta go. And I clicked it off. And then once I clicked the phone off, I started crying, because I was like, I can't handle this. Like, I can't handle my family. And I was like, I just started crying. I was like, I felt like God was there, and I was like, God, I can't do this. Like, I can't do this. And I just started telling God, I can't do this. I can't. And God just like was like, okay, it's okay. It's okay. You know, Faith, it's all right. You know, it's, and he just started quieting me down, like slowly. Quiet me down. And at the end, like, I was kind of like, oh, you know, no, you know. And finally, I was, like, quiet enough down, and I ended up going, I felt like God was saying, okay, go to the computer. Like, go to the computer. And I went to the computer, and I was like, okay, God, you know, whatever, you know. And, sorry, God. Like, I searched, and I was like, see, God, they're $1,800 now. Like, they were like $1,600 before, now they're like $2,000. I was like, this is not cool. Like, I'm never gonna find like a $1,500 ticket, you know? Cause like, they're like, not cool. So, he was like, you know, I tried to search on the first, and I couldn't find anything. So finally, like, I tried the second, and it was I tried the second, and I found a ticket. And the ticket was like $1,300-something. $1,354, I think it was. $1,354. I was like, oh my gosh. You know, I was like, praise God. And God was like, you know, I felt like I was like, call your parents. And I was like, no, I can't. You know, I can't do this, God. You know, I don't want to do this. And he was like, call your parents. I was like, okay, I'm calling. So I picked up my phone and I called my dad. And I was like, Dad, and I tried to, I basically tried to witness to him. Be like, you know, see this what happened. Like, I felt like God wanted me to tell you. And then I went to the computer and I got a ticket, you know. And it was one seat, you know. I was like, yeah, this is so cool, right, Dad, right? And he was like, okay, you know. And like, so he wasn't that, you know. Anyways, so, like, I talked to him. I was like, okay, so we agreed. Right, we agreed. I explained to you why I need to be back at this time. I explained to you why I need to go at this time. Will you buy me the ticket? And he was like, it wasn't him. Like, it wasn't, I don't think it was my dad. It was just really hard just listening to him, because I just felt like it wasn't him. And he was very stubborn. He was like, no, you know, no, I don't think so. We need to discuss this some more. And I was like, I was really worried, because I was like, no, last, I was like, it's one seat left. What if he doesn't buy in time? Like, Dad, just buy the ticket. Just buy the ticket. And he just kept trying to talk about, you know, why I couldn't stay longer. Like, my mom found a ticket for $15.50 that stayed till September and left earlier. And I got really frustrated. And I shouldn't have got frustrated. And in the end, I started crying in the conversation. I was like, you know, this is why I can't stay home. This is why I can only come home for a short time. And I hung up the phone. And I felt like I shouldn't have done that. Like, I felt like, I was like, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And I was like, okay. I felt like God was like, okay, pick up the phone, do it. I was like, no, God, like, do it. I was like, fine, you know. So I picked up the phone and called my parents again, and I was like, Dad, I'm sorry. And I tried to convince him again, and my dad was like, he just kept arguing. He just kept being like, we gotta discuss this. No. No, you know, and I was having a really, really hard time keeping my cool. There would just be periods where I just had such a hard time keeping my cool, and I was like, God, give me patience, help me, and God, I felt like, you know, there were times where he would just say something, and I would just stop. I didn't feel like it was him, so I just wouldn't speak, period. I just would just be like this pause. And he'd be like, are you still there? I'd be like, yeah, I'm still here. And then, but then when he'd speak, like, I couldn't speak. I just couldn't speak. And finally, what happened was I was like, you know, Dad, you know, can I, I couldn't talk to him, so I just started, I felt like there was something off there. I felt like there was other forces there. So I started, like, quoting scripture. And I just started quoting, like, you know, the really, just like, just quoting scripture. I just started quoting them under my breath over and over and over again. And I just quoted. And as I started quoting, he started relenting and being like, okay, all right, let's walk through this. You know, calm down, Faye, let's walk through this. And the whole time I was just like, okay, I just quoted scripture. That's all I did. I quoted scripture the whole time. And as I did that, he basically he walked me through the process. He read it to me, and he bought it for me. But I just realized so when he got it, like, it was $13.54 when he bought it, because the websites are really, you know, not cool, right? Like, it became $14.64, but it was still under $1,500. So he was like, okay, fine. And he bought the ticket for me. Praise God, you know? Praise God. I came up here just to say that I think that scripture and God's words have power. Like, they have so much power. And I'm really, like, just realizing more and more, you know, that when I'm fighting the enemy, I have to use scripture. I have to use armor. I have to use, like, whatever God's given you, you know? Like, everyone in here, you know, everyone who's a Christian, everyone has discernment. You know, you have to use discernment. You have to use scripture. You have to use armor. And I think I just wanted to share that, and I just wanted to encourage you guys. I just wanted to encourage and say that, you know, every one of you has God's power, and every one of you has Christ, and every one of you, you know, just, you know, you have these tools. You have the scripture, and you have these, all these things, you know, in front of you, and all this, you know, all these things that God's given you. And I just realized, you know, I think through this experience that God is mighty, and he always equips us. Like, he always equips us. It's just a matter of a lot of times, like, using it. And I realize a lot of times I drop my tools. I don't use scripture. I drop my weapons. I drop my armor. And I end up, you know, I realize I need to pick it up. I need to pick it up. Otherwise I'm just a human, you know? I just wanted to encourage you guys. And, I just hope this story has, you know, just encourage you guys. And I hope that you guys, God bless you guys. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Hi. No. sorry I came late today. Came after work. By the way, my name is Sung. I've been at JCM since this January, and it's been such a wonderful place where I, you know, really got to grow, and, you know, it's been really exciting. I think today I just want to share maybe one part of my journey, and actually I've shared this prayer request with the prayer team, and, you know, so it's probably going to come up where it came out already, but I wanted to give a context for that prayer request and maybe kind of solicit your guys' prayers a little more, and also maybe to challenge you guys to, you know, carry that out as well yourselves. I think, like, embracing the Great Commission as a follower of Christ, and, you know, being called to live as a missionary, for me, came, you know, during my college years. And it came from not being able to go on mission trips, because I had this visa issues where if I went out of the country, then I would have a hard time coming back in. So my dad always told me, you know, you should stay and, you know, not go. And so I used to watch these people, you know, get together and train, and, you know, spiritually, mentally, physically. And it was really, you know, it was kind of like envious. I was envious of them because, you know, they did all these things together. But then over the years, I became very cynical of, you know, what, you know, this whole process, because, you know, I was thinking, you know, these guys are going out to these places and then they're, you know, praising and, you know, whatever, telling people that Jesus loves them. But, you know, when they come back home, you know, why do they go back to the lives that they, you know, they're used to living? And it's, you know, there's no better words for it. I think it's just plain called hypocrisy, right? Living, you know, two separate lives. And so I began to complain a lot to God. And then And then that's when, you know, God just says, you know, you need to shut up and, you know, and do what you got to do. And so so I got to experience some really neat things in my college town, just kind of doing that missions work while I was there. And then since then, I've been really trying to embrace that calling. I know you guys heard this before, but there is no, you know, word missions, in, you know, expressed in the Bible. It's simply, you know, obedience to whatever God is calling people to do. And I think as followers of Christ, you know, Jesus gives us a mission, you know, to be my disciples and then go out and make disciples. And so if you choose to step into that mission, then you naturally become a missionary. And so with that, you know, I've, you know, done lots of internships at different places. And so everywhere I go, you know, I would just pray, Lord, you know, what is it that you want me to do here at this place? And it's something that I've been trying to personally live out. And then coming out to Korea, I really didn't want to come out, actually, because, you know, I was in the States for 16 years, and, you know, I didn't really like the Korean culture nor the people, even though I'm, you know, Korean citizen and my whole family's here. And then I had this, you know, military thing that I, you know, I was required to do, and so, you know, I was kind of forced to come out. But So I was kind of really resistant to this idea of coming out until a couple years, 2 years ago. And that's when, actually 6 years ago at Urbana, I made a commitment. I said, Lord, you know, I want to serve you, you know, overseas for at least 3 years as a missionary. I sort of made that commitment thinking that I would, you know, do that with some of my, you know, close buddies sometime. And then 2 years ago, out of nowhere, you know, I just, you know, heard the Spirit say, you know, hey, remember that commitment that you made? And I completely forgot about it, you know, even though I made it. And he said, yeah, I want you to serve that out in Korea. And so I was like, okay, if you want me to do that in Korea, I'll go. And so because of that, I, you know, had a lot of peace about coming out. And so when I came out, you know, I began to pray. And usually, you know, every new place that I go to, I have a tendency to get very prideful because, you know, with like ministry experiences and churches that I've been to. So, you know, I go to these new churches and then, you know, sometimes I criticize and I judge and whatever. And then God always has a way of humbling me. And then I kind of wake up and then, you know, begin that process. But it actually happened here too at JCM. But when I came and I started working for this company, I work at a software company, R&D center. And we have about 500 people, and it's filled with a lot of intellectuals. You know, I think most people there at least have master's degree and above, and so we have a lot of really intellectual people. And when I first came out, I, you know, started looking around for, you know, believers, because, you know, I'm at this workplace. But what I got to see was, you know, a lot of, you know, debauchery and infidelity and a lot of these. I mean, it's not as bad as some of the other companies that, you know, I hear about. But it's, you know, very common that you see, you know. And so I began to have this deep burden for these men. And they're so, like, their worldview is so, like, away from God that it's very, it's almost depressing. And we have a lot of young people at our company. Like, you know, I think the average age is about, like, my age. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But a lot of young people. I began to have this burden for the people there. And then when I had the interview, the CTO of the company, he interviews everybody. And he's the one who founded this company with three people. And then the company is about 2,000 people big now. And so this guy, he has a lot of, you know, skills and whatnot. And he shared with me his vision for the company. He said, you know, I already have a lot of money, and I don't want, you know, more money for myself. But what I do want is to see Korea coming to the next economic level. And he really believes that software is the way to go. And so this guy's working like 7 days a week. And I mean, he really does work 7 days. But the thing that really got to me when I heard his vision was that here was a man who thought that his vision was so big. You know, and he almost felt, he had this sense of, like, heroism. Like, you know, he felt like, you know. But I was looking at it from a, you know, kingdom perspective, and I thought, you know, if God was in that picture, his, you know, vision would be immeasurably bigger. It would be so much bigger. And here he's thinking that his vision is so big. And so I began to have that burden too. And so I started praying for, you know, the CTO or CEO guy. And then that's when God began to place a, you know, a vision in my heart where it says, you know, because we spend so much time at the company already, we're working like crazy hours. I said, instead of pulling all these people out to, you know, go to churches, what if there was a church that rose, you know, from within this company? And church, you know, just what the, you know, what the book of Acts talks about, you know, there's fellowship, there's, you know, preaching, you know, there's study of the word, you know, prayer and all these things. And so that's something that I began to pray. And then that vision became really, you know, it was like God just began to affirm that vision in my heart and say, you know. And so here I was, and I looked around for believers around me, and I didn't find anybody, at least within my vicinity. Like, and I knew there were people that went to church, but within my immediate team members, my division, I just didn't find anybody. And so it was really hard. But, you know, I began to just really, you know, seek out, you know, seek God. And then God one day encouraged me with the passage in, I forget what book, Joshua, yeah, with the walls of Jericho, the story about, you know. And as I began to meditate on that word, I heard this, you know, Spirit tell me that, you see these walls? People thought they were not breakable, but, you know, they came crumbling down at the hands of my obedient servant, and it was done by me. And he said, likewise, I'm going to do that with your company. And so he said, be faithful. And so I got really excited. And then so I, you know, I went on for a while, and then really excited. And then things got, you know, spiritually really hard. I mean, like working in this environment is not very easy. And so that's why I take so much joy coming out, you know, prayer meetings and whatnot, because it's refreshing. But, you know, I went through another phase where I was really discouraged. And so, you know, I was asking people for prayers, and then one day, I was sitting on, you know, a toilet reading a Christian book. That's where I did a lot of my reading done. And then God just really spoke to me through this one passage that this book was talking about. And it was from Book of Zechariah, chapter 4, where Zerubbabel was given the task of rebuilding the temple of God after it was destroyed. And then this guy, you know, so he knew that God, you know, had given him this assignment, and yet, like, nothing was going on for 2 years. And so he was so discouraged. And then so God sends Prophet Zechariah to tell him that it's not going to be by might, by power, but by his Spirit. And so, you know, and that's a verse that kind of, you know, a lot of us are familiar with. And I was like, okay, you know, yeah, that's exciting. And even though I should have been more excited about that, but a few verses down, it says that, therefore, it says, do not despise small beginnings, but shout grace. I think that's the message that God really wanted me to hear, because it's from the beginning that God's grace is upon this, and he's going to do that. And so when it gets big, you know, there's something to, you know, we can begin to celebrate from, you know, this small beginning. And so that really uplifted my spirit, and then I began to, you know, get really a lot more excited. And then the following week, I finally hooked up with a Christian brother, and he was upstairs, and it turned out to be a really solid guy, and he's actually a Chinese-Korean, so he serves at the Chinese ministry in Sarang Church, and so I guess he's been kind of feeling the same way, like, because he didn't really see anybody. And so we got together, and we started praying, And then also at our cafe, the lady who used to work there, she told me that she goes to church before, and, you know, but I didn't really want to meet with her one-on-one, and so, before, so after I met this brother, I said, okay, well, why don't we ask this girl, and then maybe we can, you know, start meeting together. And so last week, three of us met together, and in the process, kind of realized that this sister is really not a believer yet, but, you know, that's exciting for us. And then she happened to know some people, you know, who were interested. And so this week, she brought a guy, and he's a really solid brother, I think. And so he's been working there for a year, and, you know, he's been kind of feeling the same way too. And so we got together yesterday, and then we were just kind of sharing and whatnot. And I'm really horrible with logistics and stuff like that. And this brother, he is kind of like really helping out with that stuff. And so that's where we are right now. Four of us met last night, and we're planning to meet regularly. I really do believe that, actually a couple weeks ago, I was walking to my work, and I was just praying, and then that's when God just reminded me, hey, he said, hey, remember those walls? He said, I'm gonna do it. So you just believe, and that really got me excited. And so I just I don't know if the prayer request thing came out, but you know, that's gonna be my continual prayer request here, and I'll try to update you guys. And also, I really believe that, you know, we're not called to just bring people to church, but we're, you know, also called to go out, because it's going to take too long, you know, if we just wait for people to come to JSEM. And so I wanted to challenge you guys as well that, you know, wherever you guys are, you know, God calls us to, you know, go out and make disciples. And so just really carry that out. And actually I was, you know, sharing with Lydia, and she was telling me about some of the exciting things that are happening at her workplace. As she began to pray, and I think that we can really minister and reach out to a lot more people that way. And so just wanted to come and share that. Sorry it took a while.
All right, because of time, we're going to go ahead and go into time of prayer. All right, so that'll be it.